It's Illume Group's Andrea Lay, Packed View's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Wooden Hill Shri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 22nd, and of course it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We found them boundlessly intriguing. We hope you do too. Brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Leading off, Shri.
Thank you, Peter. And Amazon Live introduces a new shoppable ad-supported channel to Prime Video called Freevee, featuring 24/7 interactive content from celebrities and brands, leveraging its Shop the Show technology to enhance viewer engagement and boost its advertising revenue. At least that's the plan. The channel leverages Amazon's Shop the Show technology to enable viewers to easily purchase content seen on the TV screen via a mobile device. The CPG guys and I are excited to try this out, and we will report back how it performs back here in one of our blogs on the CPG guys. So I look forward to that. Over to you, Peter, for what's going on with Walmart Marketplace.
Thanks, Shri. Walmart Marketplace opens Omni service to auto sellers. Walmart is enabling customers to order eligible tires from Walmart sellers and have them shipped to a local Walmart store for easy installation at their auto care centers. Walmart sellers have added 12,000 unique items, including specialty tires, to provide nearly 40,000 marketplace offers that are installation eligible at 2,300 auto care centers around the country. The expanded tire selection complements Walmart's existing auto services that include accessories and battery services, while giving sellers more access to Walmart's omnichannel customer base. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Amazon begins offering Dash Carts to other grocers. Amazon has begun offering its Dash Carts to third-party grocers, expanding the checkout technology beyond Amazon grocery banners and Whole Foods market stores, according to a blog post from the company. Amazon introduces Dash Carts to non-Amazon grocery stores, starting with select locations in the Kansas City area. This rollout comes shortly after Amazon ceased its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods. Customers using Dash Carts tend to spend 10% more, with over 80% of the transactions from repeat users, highlighting the cart's convenience and efficiency. Over to you, Melissa.
So Heinz has launched a new limited edition barbecue sauce. Heinz and Barbie lovers in Europe are in luck. A limited edition pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce was launched to celebrate Barbie's 65th anniversary. Mattel and Heinz have unveiled the new Heinz Classic barbecue sauce. It will be available in the UK and Spain initially, and may be available elsewhere in the future. Additionally, there's 5,000 bottles of the new sauce available to purchase online, but they can only be shipped to the UK and Ireland. So for those of you in the US who are curious, you can do what I do and go to TikTok and search pink barbecue sauce, and you will find it.
Thank you, Melissa. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Shri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Shri and Peter. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, one of the aforementioned CPG guys. I'm also the Vice President of Partner Strategy and Development at Fetch Rewards, a mobile loyalty platform. While my podcast partner, Shri, could not be with us for this episode, I am very pleased to report that we have in his place a good friend of mine, Daniel Torres Dwyer, Director of Executive Search at Dwyer Partners, which specializes in director to C-level positions at consumer goods and retail companies. Daniel, welcome to the co-host chair of the CPG Guys podcast, and Happy New Year.
Hi, Peter. Happy New Year to you, too, and thanks for having me here. I'm very excited, I have to say, after following you since you started in 2020 and all the success you've had. It's an honor, I would say, to be co-hosting.
Well, thank you, Daniel. It's my honor to have you here. And I want to mention to the audience that the reason Daniel's here is because he's actually now part of the CPG Guys family. Starting this month, January of 2022, Daniel and his friend, Efren Rosario, are launching their own podcast called the, wait for it, FMCG Guys, or Fast Moving Consumer Goods, which takes the CPG Guys format of omnichannel digital exploration
to the European market. It has been something that a lot of our followers have been asking us about, and we're happy to be able to deliver again. Now, both Efren and Daniel are based in Europe, and we'll be talking with FMCG and retail thought leaders about the transformation happening on the other side of the Atlantic. Daniel, you want to share a little bit more about what you and Efren have in store for FMCG guys?
Yeah, of course. I've been podcasting now for a few years, most recently with the Lead and Thrive podcast, which I started myself in 2020. And I think there's a lot of commonalities between the CPG guys and Lead and Thrive. So basically, yeah, we got together and thought that why not get the best of both worlds and start a version of the CPG guys in Europe. So basically what it's been until now, and it will continue to be, is speaking with influential people in our industry, either about a business topic or more a leadership topic as well, but exploring also like the human side behind the executive. So the idea behind this rebranding is to reach a wider audience and basically have a positive impact on the industry, and this time in Europe, and especially getting a bit close to what the CPG guys have got to do in the US will already be a success, I think.
Well, Sri and I could not be more excited about having you and Efren as part of our family. You'll be hearing us talk a lot about FMCG guys on our podcast. We'll do some crossovers. It should be a lot of fun. So Daniel, welcome. Can't wait to learn more and listen more to what the FMCG guys have in store. I want to remind our audience that all of the CPG Guys content can be found by simply visiting cpgguys.com. That includes the Omnis episodes, which we released over the Christmas week. As you may remember, the Omnis are our take as to the best at omnichannel digital, where we recognize brands, retailers, and marketplaces. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's our way of having fun to talk about it. We're really excited. And we want you to continue being part of our community. Best way to do that, go to linkedin.com. And in the search box, enter CPG Guys. And now you can enter FMCG Guys too as well. And you can start following their LinkedIn page. And when you get to our pages, just click follow. And that way you can see all the most recent content we have. Best thing about it, doesn't cost nothing. It's free. That's exciting. And lastly, I'll just mention that the CPG Guys are very proud to be in partnership with NEW, the Network of Executive Women, whose mission it is to advance gender equality in the workplace and to promote the careers of women leaders in our industry. So the best way to learn more about NEW is to visit newonline.org/CPGguys, and you can learn all about how you can become involved in this extremely worthwhile community. We highly recommend NEW as an organization. All right, let's get down to our episode today. The topic, it's one that we love to explore very frequently. It's data and analytics. We've said on this podcast many times before that data is one of the most valuable commodities in CPG. And when converted to actionable insights, it really is the game changer for brand equity growth. We've had others on the show earlier episodes talk about the role of data and how the future of insights will be shaped by scale and speed. This is the second episode in a two-part series where the CPG guys have partnered with Tiger Analytics, an advanced analytics and AI consulting company, enabling enterprises to generate business value through data. The emergence of a new C-level title, the Chief Analytics Officer, is just one indication of how serious and attention in the space has gained. The emergence of open source big data and data science innovations has now triggered a second wave in the analytics space, increasing in magnitude of positive impact delivered to businesses. Acquiring, storing, and processing growing volumes of data, structured investigation to discover insights, advanced analytics and machine learning driven decisions, and an end-to-end pipeline that brings it all together can unlock hidden avenues of incremental value, optimize cost and free cash flows for businesses. That is really the mission behind Tiger Analytics. Returning for today's episode from episode one is Tiger Analytics Chief Customer Officer, Kishore Gumaraju, and joining him, Paola Peretti, Vice President of Consumer and Digital Experience at Mars. So please join Daniel and me in welcoming to the podcast, Kishore and Paola. Greetings. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you very much for having us, Peter and Daniel. Thanks a ton for having us over at the CPG Guys. It's a privilege, and wish you and the listeners a very, very happy and prosperous 2022. And Daniel, congratulations on the launch of FMCG Guys. It's great that we'll be on the first episode, literally, on the first week of January.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Paola.
Hello. Thank you so much. I will start by saying, are we ready for the 2022? That would definitely be the year of even more data, even more Web 3.0, and merging physical and virtual to unlock potential opportunities for our CPG brands.
That's wonderful. That's great. Before we get to the questions, Kishore, would you please tell us a little bit about where our audience can learn more about Tiger Analytics, their value proposition for clients, and would you just briefly go over what your omnichannel offerings are?
So, Peter, just to remind the audience, we are Tiger Analytics, the fastest growing AI and analytics services provider with a mission of enabling an always-on enterprise where enterprise action is powered by data and insights. We are a team of 1,600 plus data scientists, data ML AI engineers, information architects, domain experts, design thinkers, and visualization specialists, and are growing at over 100% year on year. We help our clients realize value from data through execution of projects and custom insight applications. We establish COEs and are part of client teams and with the capabilities around analytics, data engineering, and ML. And finally, we help establish strategic roadmaps for insight capabilities as well. More than 45% of our business is CPG and retail, and therefore omnichannel is a big part of what we do. As part of omnichannel offerings, we have a solution called Omnichannel Brain, which are analytics solutions, and Omnichannel Data Foundation, which brings multiple data sources together. You can learn more about us on Tiger Analytics at www.tigeranalytics.com and our omnichannel offerings at tigeranalytics/omnichannel.
That's terrific. Thank you for that, Kishore. You did use one acronym, COE. I'll let our audience know that's Center of Excellence, if in case anyone wants to know. Paul, I'll let you know that on this podcast, whenever anyone uses an acronym, we usually ask them to break that down so that everyone in the audience can come along for the journey on us. But thank you for that, Kishore. I'm going to include in the digital liner notes of this podcast episode, links to Kishore's LinkedIn profile, Paola's LinkedIn profile, and to the two URLs that Kishore mentioned for Tiger Analytics. So make sure you visit the actual episode liner notes. You'll find the hyperlinks. No need to write them down. Easy to find there. So let's get into the questions for today. We've got some pretty terrific ones and can't wait to hear from everybody. I'm going to kick it off and it's going to go to Paola. So Paola, of course, welcome again to the podcast. You are currently serving as the Vice President of Digital and Consumer Experience at Mars. Can you help us understand your journey so far and what is the functional capabilities that you are looking to deliver to the Mars organization in your current role?
Thank you so much. And yes, let me say first that I'm a lucky person. I build my entire career across three magic dots that I try to connect it all the time. Data from one side, design on the other side, and dreams on the top. I have worked for absolutely amazing consumer brands within five countries, two continents, and actually across five different categories within CPG, but not only fashion, luxury, and also retail. So very quickly, I worked from the media industry and led Vogue as CMO in an era where content was the product and where digital was not yet as important as right now. And then I moved into digital marketing, leading Europe, Africa, and Middle East for Electrolux, so in major appliances. And then I finally joined Mars first as the lead of the first digital business unit across all segments and across the six major markets. And for the very first time, designing and developing capabilities around intelligence, so data and analytics, again, marketing, and definitely experience across the different digital channels. And finally, I left Mars first to become the Chief Digital Officer of Moncler. For me, it was the time to move into the dream of having and owning end-to-end, from the transformations to leading a digital culture. And also, I had the chance to internalize B2C. And fortunately, I had the chance to work for Moncler in shaping their D2C journeys that we had the chance to grow average 46% every year. And then finally, right now, I moved back to Mars and I'm leading, as you mentioned, digital and consumer experience for the health and wellness snacking platform. So goal overall for us is really to build the next 10, 20 years at Mars, moving into these health and wellness trends. And what I feel is that I'm really responsible for shaping and how our brands like Kind or Nature's Bakery interacts with consumer by leveraging data and driving this ongoing experimentation that is the only way to really understand how omnichannel business can overall not just become available, but also profitable and meaningful for the customer in itself. So, and I have to say, a really big part of everything I'm doing and also of the success of the work is the partnership I have and we have with Tiger. They are delivering value every day in making everything simple, but also in transforming data by driving the right level of adoptions and by being able to activate them across the full consumer experience journey. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and Kishore, out of curiosity and actually from what Paola is saying, actually, what value propositions have Tiger Analytics brought to Mars? And specifically, I think when you talk about health and Mars, it's about like Kind, which is one of the, I think, hottest brands and in the chocolate bar shelf lately.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And thank you, Paola, for your kind words there. So Tiger has been a strategic partner to Mars over the last 3 years, and we have together accomplished a lot, and we have learned a lot as well in the process. Right? Let me maybe take a few examples to give you a flavor of the work that we've done there. One is we worked with Paola in conducting design sessions to help identify how we could engage with top retail partners, top 10 retail partners in a more strategic way. Right. So this led to a series of test and learn experiments. And Paula is really big on test and learn. And that's something that we've done a lot of. And like I'll give you some examples, right, on how do we help improve store share? Or in Mexico, the problem was, you know, enough folks were coming to the website, but not converting. Right. Or in case of across the retail segment, especially post COVID, how do we solve for availability issues? Right. For instance, we have leveraged data to help identify key opportunity areas to help reduce out of stock and translated it to specific actions across store associates, warehousing, and demand planning, etc. Right? And this has delivered tremendous amount of value. In another case, we helped establish the roadmap of capabilities to maximize the opportunity to be realized from on-demand delivery, which has again picked up very significantly over the last few months. Right? So we helped determine the size of the price by market, help calculate true incrementality from delivery from intermediary channels, and optimize search and spend campaigns. In other case, it's about omni-channel sales attribution. In an omni world, while we are working with retailers, it is key to answer questions like which media activation drives maximum incremental sales, or how does the impact vary by geography, retailer, category, brand? When do we change an activation based on saturation? So we've leveraged our accelerators and extensive knowledge of data sources, which are continuously evolving, including retail media, to develop tools, playbooks to help answer these questions. And these have been a huge success. One last thing is across all of these initiatives, we have helped establish a data foundation to help improve access to quality data and analytical features, and thereby improve the productivity of data scientists, business analysts to provide better insights, right, and more timely insights. So the work that we've been doing spans across roadmap development, insight applications, analytical modeling, as well as data foundation.
Thank you, Kishore, and that really sounds fantastic. Paola, what are some of the best examples where you have seen data being used as a strategic asset at Mars?
I have to say at least three examples. The first one is even using basic first and second party data to internalize the ability for us to optimize online media. It's a big shift and an important one where we can gain efficiency, learn more about the consumers, and really partner even better with our external players. And the second one that is one of my favorite even in my career is really build a one view of the customer. So we think we know them, but the reality is that we leverage all of the data that are available across the full consumer journey to get into the details, so building clusters of personas and definitely then try to adjust the portfolio, the offer, and by establishing different roles for physical and virtual platforms across all of the steps of the journey. happening. Another one that I remember, at Royal Canin, for example, it was the use of data to drive personalizations of D2C, but also from the moment where we know that the pet owner is in starting the experience around owning a puppy and from to the very end of the first time they're trying to get him vaccinated or finding the best decisions for them. So I have to say that the last one that we mentioned previously, that is one of the key components of our journey, is how we can partner differently with retailers. So definitely when we work together with one of the most important at the global level American retailers to define together the path to purchase for the different omni-channel opportunities and see how to adjust our portfolio strategy to the data and make it relevant for the shopper. So these are some of them. I can go on and with Tiger, I think we have even more for sure.
I think in line with what Paula mentioned, there are tremendous opportunities, right? I'd like to share a few couple of them. One is identifying trends and opportunities for innovation. And we've worked with several CPG firms to leverage data across social, traditional, and research sources to identify and quantify the value of certain key trends and help them decide on the nature of investments to support innovation. In one particular case, we were able to deliver opportunity value in excess of $228 million. By identifying these opportunities. The other one is marketing analytics. There's a huge wave where we see CPG companies wanting to bring marketing analytics in-house. Right? Keeping insight capabilities in the hands of few agencies is like keeping your destiny in the hands of someone else. So some of our clients have started working with us to take their marketing analytics capabilities across the five C's of campaign, content, consumer, community, and commerce, right, in-house. And that's delivering a lot of value as well. The other thing that Paula referenced, which is really the maximizing customer lifetime value in D2C, like in pet food, right? We are helping them personalize the food recommendations to the pet parent and help maximize the revenues from subscriptions. On the other hand, for a baby products major, we are helping the client understand the overall journey and find the right time and way to engage with the prospective mother. So thus, data can be really used as a strategic asset across the board in creating a sustainable multiplier effect on revenues.
And Kishore, is there another way also through this data you're helping companies like Mars more on a day-to-day decision-making in this omni-channel environment that we're...
I'm so glad you asked that question, Daniel. So the thing is, you can make all the strategic changes with respect to initiatives on insights. The most important thing in this environment, it's critical that day-to-day decisions taken across all levels in the organization are enabled by insights, right? And let me take some examples of how we make that happen. So for example, let's take route to market or retail execution. Here we use data to optimize decisions that are taken in retail execution by the store associates, like things like how much time should the store associate spend in the store? Which stores should they be visiting? What activities should she be performing when she's in the store? What should be the route plan, etc.? These are all decisions that are informed by certain tools that we have developed, and they're integrated with their route planning application. Take innovation. We talked to the strategic part of innovation, but key to success of innovation is to know as early as possible answers to questions like, is innovation working? Right? What should I do to make this particular innovation succeed? Should I kill this innovation and cut losses? We've helped our clients build fairly complex analytical models to understand performance of their innovations and manage their drivers of success even better. The third one example I'll take is trade architecture. We've been helping some of our CPG clients to move to a pay-for-performance model in trade architecture in an omni-channel environment that is fair, equitable, and that aligns with the core business strategies and priorities. And for this, we have provided the business with visibility to key omni-channel metrics, tools to simulate and plan performance around these metrics. And this is providing value in excess of $100 million over the next 3 years or so. And finally, I'll take the example of supply chain execution. It all comes down to supply chain today, right, in terms of availability and fulfillment. Here, if you take execution, there are a lot of decisions that need to be made on a day-to-day basis. What changes should I make to my inventory allocation? What should I do to help improve my OTIF scores and therefore reduce my penalties that retailers are imposing on me? We help answering these questions, leveraging machine learning and making it part of their process so that actions can be taken. So it's not only about strategic decisions, but it's also about day-to-day action at each and every level in the organization.
Let me remind our audience that we are speaking today with Paola Peretti from Mars and Kishore Gumaraju from Tiger Analytics. So Paola, let's shift to something that I love to talk about because it's part of my professional background. It is very much the essence of market research. How do test and learn experiments help drive digital transformation from your perspective? And can you share more around this from work that you've been doing most recently at Mars?
Let me say, I had the chance during my career to then stop and take a PhD in marketing, where I really focus my research and run a ton of test and learn and experimentation to really understand the customer experience journey. And the more I was working as a researcher, the more I realized that running ongoing experimentations is a huge driver of cultural change. It is almost the only way to really learn and improve. So especially the last couple of years at Mars, we work a lot on moving from like products and brands and to experiences. So in what does it mean? It means running experimentations on content. So asking ourselves and finding within the data the answers to some of the key questions. How do they react to the content? And what is the level of engagement? And what are their specific preferences? And to really tailor the content across the channels to what the consumers want and not just what we think is correct from a brand perspective. The second, and it's one of my favorites as an example, is around search behavior trends. Again, the from two is like from us chasing reach or chasing the consumers a bit everywhere to having them finding us while looking for specific areas of interest. For example, around health and wellness, this is a huge opportunity. It's a big shift in strategy. So it requires a lot of different processes and tools. And the experimentations facilitate that change and that transformations. And the final one I have to say is really from the experimentation around D2C. D2C in CPG, it was still used a bit in silos as a channels where you can sell or interact on a community level with key consumers, and then we move to use it as an experiment lab and really test product innovations and test different concepts and formats, but also test how to connect with other retailers to make the omni-channel experience truly consumer-centric.
Paola is really big on test and learn as a means to drive change and value. And what we've done is we at Tiger have actually established a test and learn platform solution that we help define control test groups, you know, in a scientific manner, help evaluate performance, tabulate the results, and leverage them. Most importantly, leverage meta learnings across various experiments and studies, right? So that they can be used on a continual basis to deliver value.
Very interesting. And Paola, out of curiosity, I mean, we all know that experimenting in a big multinational is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. What challenges do you find and how do you overcome them?
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Daniel. Yes, it is incredibly hard. And I have to say, one of the key advice that I have is truly to find the right partner, and not because it's here, but Tiger definitely allow me and the team to raise the bar of our experimentations in a very natural, spontaneous, and in a true and really partnership way that is quite rare in this space. And so even thanks to them, I think we increase speed. Speed is number one challenge in CPG big corporations. And it's really, we have to adjust to the consumers and what they need. And I have to say, in partnership with Tiger, we speed up 3 times probably thanks to the experimentations. The second one I think is around accountability. So sometimes we spend more time internally to drive storytelling or to get the approval by reinforcing and tell again and again the why, instead of spending the exact amount of time on the what and on learning by doing the how. So that's the second challenge. And I believe that in the end, again, having the right partners can allow also to speed up the approval and to then get to the what's important, so the outcome of the experiments, and then the changing culture is the third barrier that we had to overcome. That is mainly in culture, that is the cross-functional approach that is needed is number one, and the second one is the truly consumer-centric. In the end, I usually say that a commercial can win prizes and be very successful within the expert community, but can definitely completely fail at the consumer's level. And that's important to consider both into account in delivering our plans.
So Kishore, a lot of the things that Paola just mentioned are very much internal to the organization. How does Tiger Analytics help in overcoming the challenges that she just outlined?
I'm so glad you asked this question, Peter. The issues that Paola mentioned around speed, decision-making, data-driven culture, the need to work across silos in an organization are all very unstructured problems to solve. Hence, it needs a combination of art and science to solve this. It's not just about building analytical models. And so the key challenge is, how might we make the change happen and realize value as we are making it happen? It's not about a 18-month, 24-month transformation. It's something that you need to be delivering value so that you take people along with you. And for this, we do 3 things. One is human-centric design, which is we leverage design thinking as an approach in all our engagements so that, like Paola mentioned, right, we frame the right problems to solve. Like, why are we solving something? What is the problem really that we want to solve for, rather than just building a model? And then solve for them with empathy, creativity, and imagination at the center. And that's the core of it, right? So that we are creating something unique with competitive advantage. The second thing is agile experimentation. In line with what Paola was talking about, we've set up SWAT teams where we embed our data scientists, engineers, and domain experts with client teams as part of agile roadmap. So every initiative I spoke of earlier have been executed this way. The third thing is data science and engineering accelerators. Now, these are code templates that we bring with us. So these help in reducing the time to market of solutions by over 50 to 60%. The unique thing is that these accelerators are given free to our clients, and we also give them the IP associated. So we do not hold them, you know, to ransom to proprietary solutions, you know, and products that we are selling. This is something that our clients love. So 3 things we do in summary. One is human-centric design to help with the desirability and adoption of solutions. Second is agile experimentation to ensure speed of value. And the third one is accelerators and intellectual property to help with speed to deployment and scaling of solutions. So that's what we do for our clients.
Fascinating. Very interesting, Kishore. And actually, to you and Paola, from each of your vantage points, how do you see the future evolve? I'll ask you to bring out your crystal balls here.
Oh, I like that. I'm already seeing through the crystal ball. And let me say, we talk a lot about omnichannel data and consumer centricity. The future is about 2 things. The first one is what I call adaptive commerce. It means that truly what I mentioned before, the personas driven, and when we focus more on moments that matters, the consumer finding us and versus the channel in itself. After the adaptive, I think we will have to move into the what I call anticipatory commerce. So it's really a dynamic configurations of the full commerce experience. So the world is full of opportunities. And as I mentioned at the beginning, the Web 3.0 in the end, with this merging of physical and virtual in real life in a meaningful way. We don't know yet what it is, but definitely I see this within the bowl. And then some key top initiatives. I think right now in every CPG company, we should have something around the use of data and analytics to drive demand planning, to optimize the channel strategy, and again, segmentations, building clusters of personas, and absolutely adjust the capabilities to deliver and maximize the value for them.
I totally agree, Paula, on this. From my perspective, I believe the move will be really to being an always on business environment, right, driven by insights. And being always on requires three capabilities. One is the ability to sense changes, right, which is all about data architecture, to know what's happening in the environment, right, whether it is supply chain, whether it is marketing, whether it is sales, anywhere. Second is the ability to decide on the action to take, which is all about the insights from the data. And the third is the ability to act, which is all about systems, process, culture, all of that. So data and insights is really the foundation of the future. Without that, there is nothing, right? That's how we at least look at it. The good news is that we are well on our way towards establishing these capabilities. So one is, let's take supply chain. We're working with a large manufacturer to establish an auto-corrective supply chain where we leverage ML to help take decisions on areas like inventory deployment based on demand sensing and supply chain events. The second one is, let's take manufacturing. They're helping some of our clients with their predictive maintenance based on knowledge of equipment health sourced from sensor data as part of the industry 4.0 initiatives. Omnichannel analytics, we talked a lot about it before. So we are helping CPG companies bring all their raw data sources like retail media, offline media, syndicated, POS, trade, to deliver insights and enable great consumer experiences that Paula was talking about. And finally, take marketing analytics. We spoke about it earlier, right, where we are helping CPG companies identify audiences, target audiences, optimize the marketing investments by moving closer to the ideal world of a near 100% biddable environment with respect to media investments. So action is already there. I think many of the leading companies are on their journey towards this, and therefore the dream of an always-on enterprise is the way I look at it through my crystal ball.
From my perspective, your crystal balls seem to be operating on full cylinders, because those were some really great responses. Paula, I particularly like the anticipatory commerce perspective. That's going to keep my mind running for the rest of the day. So my last question for Paula is, I would love to have you share with us any advice you have for women who are looking to build careers in the FMCG industry, particularly around data and analytics.
Oh, thank you so much. This is really something that it's important to me personally, because I do believe that we have to get ready and facilitate for women and young girls in STEM and prepare their future. So I have just few advices. The first one is really work differently and be proud to be different. There's nothing wrong with that. Really. The second one is build a network. There is always someone else externally that probably is facing the same problems, and you are not alone. So the third one is remain curious and try to raise your voice. And I think the working with data and in partnership with Tiger, collaborating on expanding the culture of what we are doing by writing articles, like participating to amazing podcasts like this one, and give the chance to other women to get inspired and maybe then believe that this is the future and it's possible and it's achievable.
I really like the point, Paola, of actually finding external partners like Tiger Analytics in this case, that will help you in the journey and will make you successful. But I think that sometimes that's something that's not talked about enough. And actually, it can make such a difference. Over to you, Kishore, my last question. How are you evolving as a company to adapt to this changing environment where it feels like we're always at the end of the line when it comes to digital, and what else can change? But as we're seeing year after year, the pace of change is increasing even.
Before I answer that question, I want to thank Paula for what she said just now. As a father of two daughters, I really think that people like you, Paula, are really an inspiration for young girls to aspire to do a lot more and be big. Right? Thank you very much for that. Now, coming back to your question, Daniel, everything we are doing is to enable the always-on enterprise that I talked about, right? And for that, we are investing in three key things. One is solutions and accelerators. We're investing a lot in developing solutions, accelerators, domain-specific, business domain-specific solutions like the Omnichannel Brain, etc., to help reduce the time to market of implementations by 50 to 60%. So in Omnichannel space, for example, we've developed three solutions. One is the Omnibrain, that is analytical solutions for an Omnichannel business. Omnichannel Data Foundation, which is really bringing in all the data sources together to accelerate time to deployment. And data science platforms to help accelerate time to deployment of any of the analytical solutions. The second thing is approaches and methodologies. Now, this is to help with the human-centric design, the agile experimentation, and also taking learnings across industries. So, for example, we worked with several CPG companies to help establish the ways of working in the context of omnichannel trade architecture. Now, that requires a different way of thinking, working across silos, new forms of metrics, and all of that. Right? How do you make the change happen? The last thing is, and the most important one, is talent. The talent is the core at what we do. It's the core of everything that we do. And hence, we are hiring and investing in the best data scientists, designers, engineers. And we are doing a lot to create a great and a diverse working environment. Right? So if you think you have the background and want to be a part of a very exciting journey of the fastest growing AI and analytics services firm, send me an email at kishore_gumaraju@tigeranalytics.com and refer the CPG guys or connect with me on LinkedIn. We'll be really glad to connect with you.
I want to remind our audience that all of the content that we produce, our podcasts, links to our social media accounts on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and even a list of podcasts that we listen to when we're not recording this podcast. We're adding FMCG Guys to that list. You can get it by just going to cpgguys.com. And of course, we are an audience-driven podcast. What that means is we want to speak with great people like Paula and Kishore, people that are interesting to you. Best way you can let us know the topics and people you want us to talk to is just go to ratethispodcast.com/CPG guys, choose the Apple platform and leave a review. That's honestly the best way for you to reach us. You can also reach out through our connections on LinkedIn that you can find on CPG Guys. I really want to thank Kishore and Paula for appearing on the podcast today. I'm going to have links to their LinkedIn profiles, certainly to Tiger Analytics. Another one, Daniel, we're going to have to add is mms.com because you can get customized M&Ms, and I'm thinking we need to get some FMCG guys and CPG guys logos on those custom little M&Ms. Paula is nodding her head.
Great idea. Yes.
Brilliant idea. Isn't that? I know. I'm looking at the site.
But even a kind t-shirt for you to wear next time, especially when we have Kindness Day.
Absolutely. And Paula, we're going to be sending you a CPG Guys t-shirt as well. So thank you so much for joining us.
Deal. Thank you.
But thanks to the both of you for coming on board. We really had a great conversation today.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you, Paula, for joining the show. And thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much for having us over.
Hey, Daniel, not bad. First episode out of the gate this year. We're launching FMCG, guys. I hope you had a great time. Wasn't this a great conversation? Really getting to the heart of how data and analytics transform a business?
Yeah, no, I learned a ton. So that's one of the things that I most enjoy about doing podcasts. I always try, maybe it's a bit egoistical, but I always try to find topics that I'll actually be able to learn from. And this was not exception.
Yeah, Sheree and I say all the time that nobody learns more from our podcast than we do because it's really fantastic. I want to thank you for joining us, Daniel, and you want to give one last plug about the upcoming FMCG Guys podcast that just launched?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be already available on your favorite podcast platform. Just search for FMCG Guys. If you search the same thing on LinkedIn, you'll also find our page. And you can also find us on our website, fmcgguys.com. You'll already find new content of the new podcast, but also in the same FMCG Guys podcast, you'll find legacy interviews, if you like, of the Lead and Thrive podcast as well on the same page.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Daniel. We are so excited to have you and Ephraim as part of our family. To our audience, I want to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye and Happy New Year. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.